Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight of the Starlight Campbell Band.
Welcome to another special edition of the Supertone Show.
Get in there.
We'll be right back.
Neil Young and Hey Hey My My Into the Black live from the album Weld Live. And that was released on the 22nd of October 1991 on the Reprise record label. The song was written by Neil and it was originally released in 1979 as the final track on his earlier live album Rust Never Sleeps. And that was promoting the idea they were trying to avoid being complacent and were experimenting with more progressive and theatrical approaches to their live performances, darling.
Neil Young.
Neil.
One of our most favourite artists.
Troublesome favourite artist.
Yeah, I mean, we listen to Neil Young a lot. This special today is not only about Neil Young, but of course his guitars, because that's what we're sort of featuring. We're featuring guitar players.
Indeed.
And Neil Young is extraordinary, because I'm trying to pick people who are just not, you know, normally recognised as guitar players. We've had, you know, we've had a few specials over the past few weeks. It's been great. We've really enjoyed it. And Neil Young, not only is he one of my favourite artists, or our favourite artist, but I think he's one of my favourite guitar players. Because Everybody says to me, you know, oh, well, you know, he can't play and his guitar playing is terrible. But his voice isn't great. You can tell it's him, obviously, you know, and he's got an amazing voice, but it's just not like anything else. And his guitar playing is not like anything else. And his sound isn't like anybody else's. And that, the reason why I chose to start off with is the fact that it's absolute chaos. If you put this on with headphones, you can hear his guitar, and there's a rhythm guitar on the other side, and it's so horrifically distorted. The speakers are almost stopping. Now, when you listen to it, you think it's going to be monstrously loud, but what it is, it's a Fender Deluxe amp from the 50s, and I think the 12 watts.
Right.
But he has it on, well, obviously on here, it's got it on full plus. I've never heard anything like it. No fuzz box, no distortion. We talk about fuzz all the time on this program, but no fuzz. It's just the amp and him and his guitar. It's remarkable. I've never heard such a racket, but it works, you know. There's a feedback, it's wailing, it's screaming. You know, he's using that Bigsby on Old Black. We'll talk about Old Black later on his guitar. But it's amazing. And, you know, but there's obviously a lot more to Neil Young than just his guitar playing and stuff, because he's probably one of the greatest living songwriters, isn't he, really? I mean, his output has been absolutely remarkable over such a long period of time. And we've tried to cover quite a bit of his career, haven't we?
We have, and it's really, I've been quite thoughtful about him the last few days, just because you know, I've been reading different interviews with him, and then I've been thinking about, you know, again, don't want to get lost in the detail, just really want to embrace the music and how it makes you feel and what he wants to achieve, and not how somebody sort of interprets him, if you know what I mean. Because really it should be how we feel about him and what we think about him as well. But it's good just to get a picture of what he's like. I know he's troublesome, but I know he's alive. And I don't think I ever... Well, would I hang out with him? Yeah, I would, over a few beers. I think it'd be really cool. But to have to be... I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that I really respect his body of work. Even though he's troublesome, I just know that he cuts the crap, basically.
Well, there was that interview, wasn't there, with Tom York, Radiohead.
Yeah.
And Tom York was terrified.
Exactly.
Because of his reputation.
Yeah.
And he's talking to him. And it's a great interview, if you can ever watch it. It's probably kicking around on YouTube or something somewhere, but it's brilliant. Tom York. And we love Radiohead. I mean, they might pop up over the next few weeks. We never know. But he's out in the garden, I think, and Tom York's interviewed him. And he's very surly, isn't he?
Yeah.
And curmudgeonly, that's the word.
And a little bit dark.
And extremely dark, yeah. And Tom York's asking him something, and he says, listen, it's all about the music. That's all that matters. That I've caught, that my head is the event of the season. Buffalo Springfield, Mr. Soul, first released as a single in June 1967. The A-side was a song called Bluebird, and Mr. Soul was the B-side. It also featured on their second album, Buffalo Springfield Again, which of course Neil did a track called Buffalo Springfield Again, released a few months later in November that year on the Acto record label, which sounds like a washing powder,
Atco,
right?
Yeah.
Atco, Acto, I can't remember. Anyway, there we are, Acto, let's call it washing powder. But on here, of course, is Stephen Stills, again, a great guitar player. And a great instrumentalist, great musician. We listened to Manassas an awful lot.
Love
was instrumental in,
band.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of a super group. It was a great, great double album. Listened to that a lot. And of course, he played Hammond, he was singing, and, you know, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, of course, were a bit of a. Well, a legend, they are a legend, you know. But Neil Young popped out in and out of that
situation. He did, kept leaving and going back again.
But Stephen Stills, the thing about this is that, and I was listening to it just then again, and you hear Stephen Stills' sissy guitar, which is like all that really plinky plonky, dead clean, you know, it's the riff, of course. It's like Satisfaction, it's very similar to Satisfaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what they say, you know, by the Stones. But it's a bit plinky plonky. And on the other side is Neil's fuzz-laden screeching, because I think at this time he was using a Gretsch guitar, and it's a screeching mess, really. But talk to me about the song, Mr. Soul, because it's got a bit of a history, hasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this at all, but Mr. Soul is about Neil's personal problems of fame and disregard towards rock stardom. And apparently he wrote it in 5 minutes after he woke up following an epileptic attack after an early show with Buffalo Springfield in San Francisco. And a lot of people in the audience thought, you know, wondered whether it was, is this part of the act or not? Because he wasn't well at all on stage. And he felt that he was about to die. And the doctors also advised him after his attack never to take LSD or any hallucinogenic drugs.
Mm.
So he wrote it on a 12-string guitar with a double dropped D tuning. Misses. So I didn't know that he had epilepsy, and I didn't know as well that when he was a child he suffered from polio.
I didn't know either.
No, and he was bedridden. He had to learn to walk again.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and this vaccine apparently wasn't around, but they treated him and he managed to get better. But he became very thin and it weakened him quite a bit, really. So, and I think he started playing a plastic ukulele, and just, you know, his parents were getting him to music, really, just to give him, you know, some sort of stimulation, because I think his mum was a musician as well, or into music.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
fascinating. I'm just thinking what a double drop D tuning is.
Well, 12. I was thinking it's got to be a 12 string, so there are two Ds.
Yeah, or it could be the top D.
Oh, it could be that as well.
It could be the top E taken out. I don't know, but anyway, I'm now going to have to find out. I'm going to try it.
Well, I thought you might know. It's funny, isn't it? Honestly, it's a logical.
Drop D. Yeah. But, you know, talking about tuning, I have mentioned this before on the show quite a long time ago. It's that I learned all of Led Zeppelin's records from Led Zepp 1 to Led Zepp 5 when I first started playing guitar. And I didn't realise there was such a thing as different tunings on guitar. So I was learning all these things like the Rain Song and all these things that are actually really quite easy on, you know, tuned on an open tuning. I thought, God, Jimmy Page is really great. You know, his fingers must be like elastic, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Is, I was trying to create all these chords, and which were virtually impossible to play. But anyway, back to Neil Young. I mean, but there was always an energy between those two, you know, Stephen Stills and Neil Young. And
yeah.
Even now when they get together, because I think Stephen Stills is very, what's the word, stoic about the whole thing. He's like, oh, it's Neil again, you know. But they keep working together. They keep trying to get it together. And then it all falls apart. And is it right that Neil Young left the tour just before they were about to...
They did. He did.
That's right.
He did. Well, what I think is a lovely story as well is, you know, how they found each other again when Neil went to LA was that he was driving down the road and he had an old hearse car called Mortimer Hearseburg, apparently.
No.
Yeah. And he, Mort won. Sort of did his engine went or something anyway. So he bought another 1953 Pontiac or something. And Stephen Stills recognised him going down the road because he was the only guy driving around in a hearse. So they did an illegal U-turn and went, Neil, because they knew it was him. And that's how they started, that's how they met up again and started doing the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Well, and the thing is, as well, is that Neil, of course, he's Canadian.
Yeah, he is.
By birth.
But he's been living in America for years and years and years.
Yeah, and, you know, and some of our favourite artists, you find out there's some Canadian roots there. I wonder what it is, like Lanois, for example. You know?
Joni Mitchell. Well, he was hanging out with Joni Mitchell.
That's right,
when
yeah.
They were, like, late teenagers, really, on the folk circuit. So they were just all hanging out. But there is something there, isn't there, with
definitely,
the Canadians?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And Bachman Turner Overdrive and those boys, you know, Randy Bachman. And just talking about Mr. Soul, it was written by Neil. And you can tell because it's got that... It's got that very droll sort of vocal to it. And it wasn't, like, musical. It wasn't like a sing-along tune like, you know, a lot of the other stuff around at that time. And it was the only song that he wrote that all five members played on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. Wow, incredible.
You can tell it's just full of attitude.
You know it ain't easy.
Neil Young. All right. An unknown legend. I felt they were talking to me then. That was first released on his 19th studio album, Harvest Moon, on the 2nd of November in 92. But this version we've just played for you is from his Unplugged album. And he wrote the song some years before its eventual release, close to the time of around sort of 1978, his album Comes a Time. So, it was an old song released later, and this one is from the MTV Unplugged series.
Well, I've heard rumours that this song was about his first wife. That's what I thought, but apparently it's not, because there's something, it says he's written about, what, inspired by people I know and some people I don't, and all kind of things put together.
Yeah.
They're just pictures, people's lives. Well, the very vivid pictures on that.
You can...
Beautiful.
See the long blonde hair flying in the wind.
Colliding with the very air she breathes.
Yeah,
beautiful line.
Yeah, I thought that too.
You know, the chrome and steel she rides, colliding with the very air she breathes. Marvellous. But, you know, that's Neil Young's marvellous lyric. Let's talk about his guitars again, because the reason why I wanted to sort of start thinking about this acoustic is that it is diametrically opposite to the past two tracks.
Yeah.
It's sensitive. It's beautiful. He has a way of creating a lovely lick on the acoustic guitar. We're going to feature quite a few of these in this show, in the next one, because that da-na-na-da-da-da, beautiful, absolutely got simple, but the band are so relaxed. He's got such a lazy acoustic style in his voice. And I can't actually put the two guys together, because you've got this crazy wielding axeman with distortion and feedback and all that crazy spit and snot, you know.
Yeah.
And then this. It's absolutely remarkable. And I think Neil Young is at his best live. I mean, there are a lot of studio tracks which are absolutely fantastic, but I just love these. And this is one of my particular favourites in terms of the Unplugged.
Yeah.
But talk to me about the Unplugged then.
Well, according to Rolling Stone, in December 1992, Young was at the Ed Sullivan Theatre, New York City, to film an episode for MTV. Unplugged. And he'd played 49 solo shows that year, but the show didn't go as well as he wanted it to. And there were a number of false starts on some of the songs. And the audience could see that Neil was not happy.
Yeah, and I bet you can tell if Neil's not happy.
Oh, yeah. So during one of the songs, he just stopped and walked out. Walked off stage.
No.
And walked off and went down the street. Yeah.
Wow.
He just, that was it. He'd left. Just left the theatre with the audience sat there. Left the stage. So the producer ran after him. And what happened was that he did come back for a couple of songs to finish off the show eventually. But he wouldn't give him permission to air the show. Mm. He was very, very unhappy with it. And then what happened, this is the recording that we've just listened to now. About less than 2 months later, he bought a band to Universal Studios in LA. And they were like three-fourths of the Stray Gators. And he recorded Harvest Moon with them.
Mm.
And they had background singers Nicolette Larson and Astrid Young. And Nils Lofgren alternating on several different instruments. And that's when he recorded this Unplugged, which went to air a month later and became the standalone album, which they released in the June.
Mm.
Now, when I read that, I thought, good on you, mate. Good on you, because we both know what it's like sometimes. You know, sometimes you can play a gig and you know that it, I don't know, sometimes the mojo isn't there, is it? Or it could be just the old song or something, or you come away and everyone loved it and you just kind of felt that you didn't quite connect in.
Well, that's right.
And that's what music is, isn't it?
But I think the pressure as well of actually having a live thing filmed for MTV, which at that time, I mean, the Unplugged thing was massive,
it was huge.
Wasn't it? You know, with Eric Clapton Unplugged. And,
oh, I know.
And there was, and the Nirvana one. I mean, there's some mighty performances on there. And you know, and when you actually watch this, it is a masterpiece of understatement. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And what I do love about his guitars, I mean, it's a D45, a D18 he uses. And apparently his D45 used to belong to Hank Williams.
Did it really?
That's right, yeah. And he bought and it's an amazing sound he's got. With acoustic, I don't know what strings he uses or whatever. It's just a beautiful thing, and you know. But I can understand him walking out. I can understand him not being,
because he cares so much.
Mm, he does care. Yeah.
You're listening to the Supertone Show with Simon Campbell and Susie Starlight of the Starlight Campbell Band.
And that was, of course, Neil Young and Crazy Horse. What a great name for a band. It Cinnamon is. Girl, live, originally released on his second studio album, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, released on the 4th of May 1969. It was his first album featuring the band, Crazy Horse. And it peaks number 34 in the US Billboard 200. I was in the chart for 98 weeks. Wow, ka-ching, ka-ching, with hairy ears. It was also released as a single the following year, peaking number 55 in the Billboard Hot 100. But this version, of course, is from my favourite album, Neil Young, again live, in its live world. And if nothing else, it's for that guitar sound. Who would not want to make, as a guitar player, that racket at the end? I once had a girl that made a bit of an appearance there, a bit of Beatles at the end. You know, absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to talk to you in a moment a little bit about his amp and how he actually controls it. But let's talk about
the Crazy guitar Horse. And the guitar. Indeed, because I've got a note about the guitar on this one.
Right, okay.
I quite like the story.
Well, give me the story.
In 1969, Young exchanged one of his Chet Atkins guitars for a 53 Gibson Les Paul Gold Top, but it was painted black and widely modified. And he got it from his ex-Buffalo Springfield colleague, Jim Messina. And he never regretted the deal, and he called it Old Black. And the name he gave it, because it was the most important guitar of his career, and it became the guitar that he uses on the majority of his electric recordings.
That's right.
So that's it. I mean, what a great little story that is.
And it's got a P90
pickup, here we go.
Single coil pickup in the neck position, and a Firebird pickup, strangely enough, in the bridge position.
So explain a little about pickups then, in terms of when you say it's got, you know, it's got this pickup here and that pickup there. I've hit the mic again, so my hands are always very expressive.
It's all right. Your arms around.
What do these different pickups do, and why would people have different pickups?
Well, the thing is that the pickups make an awful lot of difference to the sound. You listen to Dave Gilmour, he uses single coil pickups and Stratocaster, right? As does Jeff Beck and Eric Clapton. So those are Strat players. Right, you listen to someone like Neil Young, and he's got a unique sound, you know. But he has this P90, which is a real thick sounding single coil, but it's very, very dark sounding. We've got guitars with those on. We've got a Les Paul with that on. And a Firebird pickup in the bridge is a humbucking pickup, which is it's two coils that prevent hum.
I love that name. Humbucking, because it stops the hum. And basically what it is that it makes an electric guitar pickup actually takes the when you pluck the string and it vibrates, it translates that into a signal. Electric signal, which then goes down the cable and then goes through your amp, and that makes the sound.
That's right. Yeah.
So really, there you go. If you don't know what a pickup is, that's really what it is, in its really basic essence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just talking about it, it goes down this cable and it goes into this Fender Deluxe, small little amp, you know, old thing, and he has loads of them, but he can only ever use one because it's the only one that sounds right. But what he did. Because the problem is, when there are one sound amp, we've got one, and it's fantastic. It's made by Rod DeMiney at the Speed Shop in Florida.
Love.
It is just a great amp, and I used it mostly on the last album. It's going to make a fantastic appearance on this one. I know it is. It just sounds great.
Yeah.
And I use it an awful lot. But to change the sound, what he did, he's actually got some motors and little things that go over the knobs on the top, that when you press his buttons at the front of the stage and his pedals, it physically rotates. We're using a little motor and actuator and moves the knobs on top of the amp. So he's got this, you'll see it, if you look at any photographs, he's got this amp, and there's this black box on top of it that does that. So he can constantly change the sound by doing that, you know? But, you know, technical stuff apart, let's talk about Cinnamon Girl just for a second, because it's a great riff. Again, another one, you know?
Yeah.
But then on electric, Unknown Legend, you know, that lovely, gentle acoustic riff. And then you got this monster. Where did that come from? It's unbelievable.
I have no idea. I mean, we saw Crazy Horse, didn't we?
We did.
We saw Neil. where you stood there in the festival field with Neil Young and Crazy Horse on stage. It was quite surreal, really. I kept closing my eyes.
We were in Biarritz, weren't we?
We were. Mm. And it was just like, it was one of our first sort of concert dates we ever went to. I think it was our first ever gig we went to, big concert like that. And I was pinching myself because I couldn't quite believe it. It's like, oh my God, really, that's him there. And I'm listening to him really, and Crazy Horse. But it was just mad. It kind of blew my mind a bit, really.
It was. And what was great is that he loves being in that band because they had this massive stage, you know, but they were all huddled together by the drums, just rocking out.
Yeah, in like a little band circle, like a powwow. They were just totally and utterly rocking out with the music. And then he'd go on to piano and do a couple of acoustic songs halfway through. And it was just, I mean, so inspirational. It was just good to see he was alive and a human being, you know, and just it was just, I mean, I just find it quite inspirational that Crazy Horse was with him and has been on and off for such a long time. And they were so, they created so much beautiful kick-ass music together, didn't they?
Well, that's right. And this whole tour, the Well tour, was on the back of Ragged Glory, which again is one of my favourite albums. That's done. We're going to be playing some stuff of Ragged. It's great. But, you know, what I do love is the name of the band. I mean, you know, Frank Molina on drums, Billy Talbot on bass, and Frank Poncho Sampedro.
That's right.
On the guitarist and keyboard player. I mean, what a great name. Who wouldn't want to be called Poncho Sampedro, eh?
It's blinking brilliant. And that was Ralph, by the way, not Frank. Ralph Molina.
Oh, it's Ralph, sorry. Well, that's his brother, his famous brother.
Cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have some more? Oh, the damage done. I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched a needle take another man. Gone.
Neil Young. The Needle and the Damage Done from his fourth studio album Harvest, released on the 1st of February 1972 on the Reprise record label. And this version is again from his 1993 live album called Unplugged for the brilliant MTV Unplugged series.
Mm.
I love that song.
Well, it's a great song. Another fabulous riff. But The thing is, if you've actually played guitar and accompanied yourself just with the guitar and vocal, to actually create that amount of emotion and actually to get the groove and the sound of the guitar and your voice across, you know, it is really tricky. And I think that's a magnificent, performance of that. And because, you know, to do that riff, it's a great little riff, you know, and it's just great, you know. His guitar playing is fantastic. And, you know, and the song, I mean, my goodness me, the song has got such depth to it. And I mean, you know a bit about this, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of can guess that it's about addiction of drugs and stuff. And he was saying it's about, you know, the destruction caused by heroin addiction. And he knew a lot of musicians, and especially Danny Whitten from Crazy Horse, who was addicted to heroin. But what you don't realise is that Danny Whitten actually had an arthritis problem, and he was taking it to help ease his pain.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he had alcohol as well, and he was combining the two because he was in pain. And I think that's one of the medical reasons why he started to do that. And you know, and look at history, look even recent history with Prince in terms of drug taking and easing of pain and why people do this. And isn't it sobers you up, because you know you just don't know these stories. And of course, what happened was when Neil was recording his third album after the Gold Rush, Crazy Horse were playing, and he had to sack the band. He sacked Danny Whitten off because he was his drug taking, and so he got him back in towards the end. And then he was going to get him back on to do the tour, but he rocked up at his house, but he couldn't. He was so far out of it, he couldn't. He didn't know the cause. He just couldn't keep up. And so he said, "Look, man, you can't make it." So he gave him, I think, $50 and bought him a ticket back and said, you know, you can't do this tour. You're not right. Well, he died that night of an overdose. Yeah. And I didn't know that, but apparently it really, I mean, it shook him up. He was just about to go on tour. And this guy he loved and had so much respect for had taken his life. He took an overdose of I think it was diazepam or something, and alcohol or something like that. Anyway, whatever, in terms of what he took, I don't know. But what I mean is that that's just so heartbreaking. Mm. So it's such a that personal story aside, he wrote that song during the recording of the album, inspired to write because he saw Danny struggling with addiction. And you meet, I mean, I've met people over the years that have been addicts. Some have died and some haven't, you know. I mean, we all know somebody who's probably, you know, has passed away because of unfortunate circumstances, or know of through popular culture. But it writes about life. It writes about the true heartbeat of life. And that's what I really respect about that song.
Take a look at my life, I'm a lot like you. I
doesn't mean that much to me, to mean that much to you. I've been first and last, look at how the time goes past, but I'm all alone at last, rolling home to you.
Neil Young, Old Man, from his fourth studio album, Harvest, released on the 1st of February 1972 on the Reprise record label. The album topped the Billboard 200 album charts for 2 weeks and spawned two hit singles, Old Man, which we just heard, of course, which peaked at 31, and Heart of Gold, which reached number one. Harvest was the best-selling album of 1972 in the United States.
How cool. Amazing. Is that?
And it was recorded at Quadraphonic Sound Studio in Nashville, Tennessee, which we have been in.
We have.
We went round it. We saw the room that this was recorded in.
The sauna.
Yeah.
It looks like a sauna. Wood everywhere.
Yeah, it's like a sauna. It's like those pine boards everywhere. And it's the kick drum sounds horrible. I would never like a kick drum sound that record, but it's all those records. So there we are. What a great song. And again, James Taylor was playing a banjo on that.
He was, and apparently he tuned it like a guitar.
Mm.
And Linda Ronstadt was on vocals. Now, I just read a story that the Quadraphonic Studios was opened by Elliot Mazer, who co-produced the album.
Correct.
Now, Neil Young had rocked up into town because he was going to appear on the Johnny Cash show. And also appearing on the show was James Taylor and Linda Ronstadt. So Elliot invited him out, and apparently it's either, on the Saturday, for some breakfast or some food anyway. And he was trying to persuade him to record his next album with him in his new studio. And apparently Neil really liked some of the musicians, local musicians. They were called Area Code 615 musicians.
Blimey, right.
Area Code 615. And he persuaded them to do it. So that night they decided to do some recording that night.
Wow.
Have food, talk about it. And Neil just said, let's do it. But a lot of the Area Code 615 musos were actually playing that night. So he managed to scratch up a band, a guy called Kenny Buttery on drums. Tim Drummond, the bass player, got brought into play. He was walking down the street. Tim, man, we got Neil Young in town. Come do some session now. Went now.
Amazing.
And still guitarist Ben Keith. So that's how that came about. Love that story.
Yeah. And there's a story about actually how this song was written, what it was written about, because you've got some lovely notes here. You're going to talk about that. Go on.
And when I first heard this song, I've got to say, it reminded me when I was about 3 or 4, I used to look at old people and I used to ask them questions about what it was like to be old. And I used to say, tell me your stories, you know, like my nan, Betty, who was on the front cover of our album, Bloomy Pie, and had a great aunt, well, a great Winnie, from
yes,
Wales.
Great Aunt Winnie, yes.
Yep. Mrs. Sackaway, round the corner as well. And I loved these people. And I just wanted them to tell me stories because I just thought, oh, you're fascinating. And I knew that if I was lucky enough to live, I would be like them.
Mm.
And I wanted them to help me understand how to still stay strong and to live life right and to make good decisions.
Wow.
So the more stories I heard, the more I was kind of preparing for old age, if you know what I mean. I was only 3 or 4, 5, really young, but I just had this thing about old people because I could see that they were still themselves. So I used to like, you know, them telling me stories when they're younger. Because, you know, the wrinkles are just a cover. It's just a...
Dead right.
It's an outside skin like a book, isn't it? You Absolutely. Get inside that book and kick ass. So anyway, so this is why I love this song, because, old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. It was just perfect synergy for me and the way I look at life. And what happened was that Neil... had bought this a Broken Arrow ranch in 1970 for the princely sum of $350,000.
A lot of money in that.
Yeah, 1970 it was. And he took a ride in an old blue sort of truck with the caretaker of the land called Louis Avila. And they got talking. And Young said, he gets me up there on the top side of the place and there's this lake up there that I can't do the accent. Anyway, and they fed, and this lake that kind of fed down into all the pastures. And apparently Louis said to him, well, tell me, you know, how does a young man like yourself have enough money to buy a place like this? And he said, well, I'm just lucky, Louis, just real lucky. And he said, well, that's the darndest thing I ever heard. And so he wrote a song for him.
People sleeping in their shoes. There's a war inside.
Neil Young rocking in the free world from his 17th studio album Freedom, released on the 2nd of October 1989 on the Reprise record label.
One of his greatest tracks, I think.
Oh, it revived his career. After 10 years, he just went back into it and kicked ass.
What a kick-ass tune. Again, great riff, you know. Complete, just rocking out, you know. And amazing.
I love that song. And apparently it was all about the fact that they were going to do a tour in the Soviet Union and it didn't happen. And San Pedro, his guitar player from Crazy Horse, said, OK, well, we just have to keep on rocking the free world.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But that's the end of the show, I'm afraid.
Oh, do you know, I've so loved it. And if it inspires you, I hope it inspires you to just listen to more of Neil Young's music.
Well, we're going
to
do another bit, more Neil Young next week, aren't we?
Of course, I know. But, you know, there's so much. I mean, I can't even count the number of albums he's released.
Well, that's it. So we'll see you next time and look forward to seeing you again.